says. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 11. We're just about finished with this great epistle. One of my favorites, as I say every time, revealing the heart, the broken heart of Paul, more than any other of his epistles. This morning, when you know chapters 10 through 13 there, it brings a conclusion. We're in chapter 11 this morning. In chapter 10, we talked about warfare, Paul did, and about spiritual authority. And there was a point in the last time that we met that where Paul literally asked his secretary or the copyist, he took the pen out of the hand. He says, no, I'm writing these right now. These last chapters that we cover are really some of the saddest in Paul's writing. And I know that his heart is broken. He's defending himself this time against the ministers of Satan, those who have entered the church at Corinth, who are challenging his apostolic authority and who are even his own character. And so when we look at this morning, I believe that this is the Christian's greatest battle, and it's also Paul's greatest battle, because the greatest deceiver, the wicked one, has gained entrance into the church at Corinth. I'm going to talk to you about the cost of tolerance from these 21 verses that I pray that you really take into your heart. And not only that, when we talk about tolerance, that's a word that's really tossed around a lot today, isn't it? Oh, man, everywhere. But, you know, the word tolerant is, we're going to find out in this scripture or in these verses, it means to put up with something. It means, you know, I tolerate you and so forth. You know, and I put up with something or endure something and so forth. Now, endurance is a good thing. It's a biblical quality, characteristic. Amen? But when we come to this chapter here, let me remind you that we live in a world today that's like no other world in my lifetime that I've ever seen. Everything has changed. There's been a complete flip-flop in our nation and around the world. The world now tells us, you have to tolerate us. Listen, we're to love the world, amen? Not love the world, the things of the world, but love the people of the world like Jesus did, amen? However, the world that we live in now, they're commanding all people to be tolerant of one another, except when it comes to Israel and when it comes to the church or to the Christian. Listen, the cost of tolerance, there are some things that the Christian cannot tolerate. And if you do, it'll cost you. I pray that he who hath ears to hear this morning, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Amen. The cost of tolerance, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me, Paul writes, just with a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. So Paul, he begins tenderly. He loves this church at Corinth, even though they're siding, many of them, with these false teachers who are ministers of the devil, all right? And he says, listen, let me be foolish just for a moment. Would you bear with me? That word literally means, would you put up with me? Would you tolerate me? Just a little bit. Paul says, because really he could have added, because you're tolerating all those false apostles, surely you can tolerate me, you can bear with me. For I am jealous for you, not jealous of you, I'm jealous for you. And look at the kind of jealousy, godly jealousy, that which originates from heaven, which originates from the heart of God the Father. He says, you know, that godly jealousy, and the reason, for I have betrothed you to one husband or one person. And that was, of course, at their conversion, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that I may present you as a chaste or pure virgin to Christ Jesus, meaning the Lord at his coming. Paul says, I want to present you that way. Paul speaking here does so like a spiritual father, which he is. He founded the church there at Corinth. And just like any dad, you know what? Would you want to protect your daughters? Amen. You want to protect your children. You don't want them to go out there and get into trouble. And that's what Paul is saying as well. He says, I'm jealous over you. I love you. I don't want anything. I don't want someone to try to flirt with you, these false teachers. I don't want them to try to seduce you. Quit holding their hand, in other words. Don't do that. Don't let them drag you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't tolerate them. You know, the Bible says in Exodus 34:14, when God's speaking to the children of Israel, he says, I'm a jealous God. He says, I won't tolerate false suitors. If I want all of your affection. I won't give it to, you're not going to give it to other people. Amen? We're the children of God. God says, I'm not sharing you with anybody. I'm not sharing you with the world. You know, that's a good word for the church today. Because, see, we are the bride of Christ. And, boy, there are many, many suitors out there that want you, that want your children, that want your marriage, that want your family. Amen? First of all, the first one, of course, is what? It's the world. Man, the world is constantly bombarding us. In other words, they're saying, oh, be friends with the world. Well, we know the Bible says in James 4, if to be a friend of the world is to be in enmity with God. We're not friends with the world. We're not even of this world. Amen? Just like the song said, we're citizens in heaven. Praise God for that. No. So we have the world. Then we have the flesh. Oh, the flesh. Our flesh wants to seduce us. It wants to sit back upon the old man, back on the throne of our hearts. And then, of course, we have the devil. But I'll get to that in a moment. So he speaks as that spiritual father to them, and he says this in verse 3. That's a key verse, by the way. He says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, and look how he did it, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember, the word corrupted means to go from a good state to a bad state. In other words, where the simplicity of Christ is being removed from the people there, the Christians at Corinth. So Paul warns them, and listen, loved one, he's warning us as well this morning. And boy, do we need to be warned today. He compares the church in Corinth as Eve in the garden. Think about that for a minute. Now, simplicity means this: singleness of heart, or singleness, or sincere devotion to only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But Eve, when she was in the garden, she broke that sincere devotion, didn't she? She transgressed what God told her not to do, not to eat of the tree of the good of good and evil, and so forth. And there, we know what happened. Listen, Satan did something in the garden. He brought forth and offered Eve a false gospel or another gospel. Remember, there he is in the tree, the tempter. He's hiding himself. He doesn't reveal himself. He's disguised, okay? He's talking to Eve. He says, you know, has God said? What did God tell you? Well, we can't eat of that. No, if we do, we're going to die. Oh, Eve, let me give you the good news gospel, okay? My good news gospel. Oh, no, you're not surely die. Oh, no, but in the day that you eat of that, your eyes will be opened and you will be just like God. That's a good word, isn't it? Who doesn't want to be like God? But see, it was against the word of God. God said, listen, the day that you eat of that, you're going to die. Did Adam and Eve die? They died spiritually, didn't they? They were kicked out, if you will, removed from the Garden of Eden and so forth. Listen, Satan will use every means, and he is using so many means in this generation. It's sickening. It's so sickening to see what the Christian is paying today because of the cost of tolerance. He'll use anything he can to deceive you. In absolutely anything. He'll do anything to steal your devotion to Christ. From the moment that a Christian is born from above and filled with the Spirit of God, sealed with the Spirit of God, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what happens? Satan comes along every day, or the powers of darkness, or the spiritual host of wickedness, whichever, they come along to do what? They want to steal just one little area of your heart away from Jesus Christ. Listen, we are in a war. And we are in the greatest war right now that the church has ever been in. I say, oh, Lord, help us. I look at all the things that are happening. And just think at Corinth. There comes the devil's team. Man, they have invaded the church. They're right there in the church. And all they want to do is one thing. They just want to steal the simplicity, that devotion, that sincerity, that love for Jesus Christ and Him only. When we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, and love our neighbor as ourself. Amen? The great commandment, which is part of the vision statement of this fellowship, this church. No, listen, And the reason that they were doing it or how they were doing it, look at verse 4. It says, for if he, meaning these false teachers, who comes, proclaims, or preaches another what? Another Jesus. Whom, well, we didn't proclaim this Jesus, but if they come and do so, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, meaning you didn't receive that from me when I preached there, when I was pastoring, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, here it is, you may well put up with it. There's that word. You may tolerate it. So what was Paul saying? Why in the world can, why would a born-again, spirit-filled, all the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church of Corinth like they were, even though they were being abused, why would you tolerate, why would you put up with those who come into your midst, even here today, and proclaim to you another Jesus? Do you know that happens all over the world? Are you listening to me? How serious this word is this morning? Listen, loved one, you know what? There is only one Jesus Christ. There's not another Jesus. No, there's only, see, they were saying, if they were pointing to another man or another Jesus, it was just a man. It wasn't the God-man. It wasn't the God-man who came, who was born of the virgin, who was placed upon a tree and brutally murdered, and then placed in a tomb, who walked out and was raised from the dead and now is ascended to heaven. That's not the Jesus they're talking about. Do you understand? No. Oh, he says, no, that's not God, the God-man. He says, why would you tolerate a different spirit? Why would you receive that? In other words, a spirit that produces fear and not faith, or brings you back into bondage. In other words, the spirit of the world, whether you know it or not, that's not our spirit, but the spirit of the world enslaves an individual. No. And then he says, oh, watch this. Why would you tolerate good news that's not good news? Why would you receive and tolerate and welcome, you know, a different gospel? Now, what is that? It has to be bad news. It has to put you back under the law, take you away from grace. It has to make you work for salvation instead of receiving it as a gift from God. Amen? Oh, horrible things. Paul says, why did you do that? Why are you doing that? If that's you, Christian, why are you doing that? Why are you messing with things that are not true? Amen? Boy, stay away from that. No, Paul says, why do you tolerate them? Turn me up just a little bit. I'm echoing in my ear. I feel like the devil's trying to speak to me or something. Just a hair, if you'll bring me up just a little bit. So Paul says, why? Thank you so much. That's good. Why do you tolerate them? Instead of, why aren't you contending? Why aren't you contending for the faith? You know, Jude, the Epistle of Jude, great study. Jude 3, he cries out this in the epistle. He says, I'm exhorting you to contend, not to be mean. The word contend doesn't mean to beat people up with God's word or be contentious. We are to speak the truth in love. He says, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, meaning the good news, the gospel, which was once delivered to all the saints, all of us. We are entrusted with God's holy word. Amen? He says, here it comes, and this is the reason why. For men, meaning the false teachers, the wolves in sheep's clothing, for men have crept in, meaning crept into the church. Listen now, and he uses a word, unnoticed. That word means to slip in secretly, by like the side door. Just they come in and sit, and just you don't know who they are. They come in secretly, and they're ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. Lewdness means a preoccupation with sex and lust and all the rest of it. And not only that, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. What happened then is happening today. You have these certain men. They're everywhere, all over the world, especially even in America. And what they do, they creep in. I like to use the word, when it says secretly, they secretly slithered in. Do you understand? Because they work for the snake. Does that make sense? Yeah, they slither in. And you know what? They slither out of the pew and they mingle with people. They slither up to the pulpit and they stand before the people of God. Sometimes they even slither out of the seminaries so they can go and destroy other people's lives. But man, to have them slither into the church is a dangerous, dangerous thing. You know why? Their motive is to change. Let me read it. Who turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness, who deny the only Lord God and Lord and Jesus Christ who can save us. Listen, to turn the word of God means to change the word of God or pervert the word of God. In other words, to change what God's grace, his unmerited, unconditional, unearned, divine favor of God that rests upon every believer. Amen. They want to change that. Listen to me now. False teachers, then and today, they're of the devil. Don't ever forget that. They're of the devil. They come to you. They come to your door, and they use the right words. They may even open the right Bible, but even though they use right words, heaven, Jesus, love, peace, joy, they don't have the same dictionary that we do. Does that make sense? You have to be so careful. And they come to change God's word, to pervert God's word, to pervert his grace. Listen to me. God's grace can be rejected, easily rejected, but God's grace will never change. Amen. Now, the church at Corinth, what they did, and as many churches today, that, you know, there's a church in Fort Worth. I'm not going to name it. I'm not going to name the pastor. I would love to walk into that church and say, why are you believing what you're believing? Where in the Word of God, this man that stands in that pulpit, and you're buying that, and he is giving you lies from hell. Do you understand? It hurts me. It hurts me because the truth sets you free, loved one. It doesn't put you in bondage. No, the church at Corinth, they practice tolerance, and oh, it costs them. It costs them greatly. See, false teachers do something. They offer you substitutes. In other words, they'll say, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, but let me explain how Jesus is really a better Jesus, or I'm going to give you a better gospel. Listen, when anyone denies the Lord God, that is to make Jesus less than he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You see, false teachers love, they'll raise up Jesus, but they're really trying to remove him from the picture. The only one that can save man. Amen? That's what they do. See, the false teachers wants you, then and now, to believe, oh, you know what? There are many ways to heaven. Come on. God is bigger than that we only have a little bit of his word. No, we have enough. That's all we need. Jesus is enough. Amen. No wonder Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. Listen to what he said about God's grace and a different gospel. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God. Here it is, to a different gospel. Paul says, why are you deserting? Why are you turning away from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that saved you? He says, for which is not another, meaning there's only one gospel, and we know that. Now here it comes. But there are some, meaning the false teachers, who trouble you and want to pervert, who want to change, who want to do damage to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it's today, Satan, the father of every lie, he wants you to have a legal relationship with God. He wants you to try to, okay, you can earn it. You can get closer to God by penance or this or that. No, listen to me. You know, a legal relationship with God is not what God wants. He wants a loving relationship, amen? God loves us. He loves you. No, you see, legalism is the stupidest thing a person can do. You know why? Because legalism is an attempt to change me, to change you. If I have all these rules, then I'll be better. No, you have to be born from above. Amen. That's the only rule. I, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, and he will change you because rules can't change the heart. He goes on, Paul writes, he says in Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed, let him be damned, let him be set aside to perish in hell forever and ever and ever. And Paul goes again and repeats the same thing, anathema, cut off from Christ forever and ever. Look back at verse 5 now. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Let me read the Amplified. I love it. The Amplified version says, he says, I am not at all inferior to these precious, extra, super apostles. He says, even though I'm untrained in speech. Now, that doesn't mean he was a poor speaker. Paul wasn't trained in oratory or Greek oratory, okay? He says, yet I'm not unskilled, or I'm not unskilled literally in knowledge. In other words, Paul says, let me tell you where I got my knowledge from. I received it in Arabia, remember? The Lord God taught him personally, direct revelation from Jesus Christ to Paul for those 3 years that he was in Arabia. Galatians 1 teaches us that. He says, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things, meaning the way we live before you. He says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you free of charge? Now listen, Paul was a tent maker, amen? And he served, he labored, we know how long, in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months. He never took anything from them. He didn't come like the false teachers are there to fleece the sheep, okay? Not feed the sheep. Well, they'll feed them lies, but they came in for the money. No, Paul, he came to win the city. He never took a dime from them. He came in not to fleece, but he came in to feed them and so forth. Was Paul, though, even though he received no remuneration, no any support, was he within his legal rights to receive support? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:18, do not muzzle out the ox that treads out the corn. Therefore, the workman is worthy of his wages, the Bible says. Now, in verse 18, Paul says this, you know what I did? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, in other words, when I was hungry, when I had a need, when I needed money, I was a burden to no one. The false teachers, boy, they were a burden to that church, but they didn't believe that. He says, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Remember the church at Macedonia, the Macedonian churches? Remember how they begged to give? And they did so, even in their midst of their deep poverty, they begged Paul to give to the suffering saints in Jerusalem. And they did so, it says, with much urgency. Man, there's a lot of Corinthians today. There's very few Macedonians, you know what I mean? What a glorious, wonderful heart they had. He says, oh, they helped me. He says, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and I will keep myself or continue to keep myself that way. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions or Arcadia. And the reason? Because I love you, and God knows. You know, 1.5 years of labor. Paul just said, you know what? It was a labor of love. I love each and every one of you. Even though there's a pocket of you that sided with these demonic teachers, he says, I am jealous over you. I want to save you from what's going on. He says, not only that, I want to protect you, and I've never taken anything from you. The direct opposite of what the false teachers were doing. He says, but what I do, I will continue to do, that I may... Here it is, cut off. That's a mean word, boy. Cut off. In other words, take it away, the opportunity from those, meaning the false teachers, who desire an opportunity to be regarded, watch this, just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, these false teachers, these demonic false teachers, they wanted to be on the same level as Paul. And Peter and John, all the apostles. In other words, they wanted to be equal to them. They were boasting about their equality. And Paul says, there's no way. They're leeches, they're parasites. And not only that, you know what I would have told them? If you want to be an apostle, which you couldn't be anyway, but if you want to, why don't you suffer like one? And in other words, when we get over to the next Sunday, we'll see what Paul suffered for Christ's sake. Amen? Now, for such are, watch this now, for such are what? Say it. Do you have your Bibles open? If you don't have your Bibles open, and if I was your parent, you know what I would do to you? For such are false apostles, pseudo apostles, and not only that, they're deceitful workers. They pretend to work for the Lord, and they don't. It says, and they do something. They transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They want, again, to be equal, James, Peter, John, and Paul, and so forth. But listen to me. They're not ambassadors of Christ. They're ambassadors of Satan. They're not endued with power from on high. They're energized from below. They're energized in their flesh by the wicked one. Listen, what were they doing? The same thing that is happening today. They were offering the Christians who had been incredibly well taught, Apollos, Cephas, remember, and also Paul. Think of the great teachers that they heard and that they were under for that year and a half. But you know what these false teachers were doing? They were offering the Christians at Corinth the same thing they do today. They were offering them a life that is superior to the life that is found in the New Testament. Isn't that exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve in the garden? Oh, no, Eve, the day you eat it, don't worry. Your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be just like God. Loved one, listen to me. No true Christian, no true believer who loves the Lord and really wants to be led by the Spirit of God, no true Christian wants to be deceived or led into error by false teaching. But you know, today, unfortunately, in our generation, it's not very difficult for Christians to be led away by every wind of false doctrine tossed to and fro that comes through town. Do you know that? And you know why? Because they don't know God's word. The word of God is not a priority in their life. Listen, there's more false teaching and more false doctrine in our world today, around the world, than in Paul's day. Do you understand? I mean, it's on the internet, it's on YouTube, we're bathed in lies. Oh, church, listen, one noted Bible teacher said this: Satan is most effective in the church when he comes not as an open enemy, but as a false friend. He said, Satan is most effective against the church, not when he attacks the church, but when he joins the church. And not when he attacks the pulpit, but when he stands in the pulpit. Paul says to us, do you know what they are? They're false apostles. They're not real. They're not real at all. They masquerade. That word, they disguise themselves, masquerade and so forth. They disguise themselves, and they're not appointed by God. They don't belong to God. They are ministers of Satan. And what do? We just read it. They labor, and they labor hard. It is truly a labor of love to the false teacher. They labor, to deceive. Why? They're deceitful workers. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. I don't think they smell like sheep, okay? No, not at all. Then, like today, you know what they do? They come in and so forth, and they look like sheep, but inside they're, like Jesus said, they're ravenous wolves. They come in, and you know what they appear like today is then? They appear so sincere, so charismatic, so loving. I've seen it for over 40-some-odd years. As I told the first service, you know, I remember we had, doesn't matter who it was, came into the building here at my office about 15, 20 years ago, and my office was back there then in the closet, and I'm going to preach in your church tonight. I said, you are. God has given me a word just for you, for this church. I can't talk, but let me tell your people. I said, really? I said, you want to get in the pulpit? Yes, I do. I said, how about going out the door? It wasn't long ago, about maybe 15 years ago, I had to throw false teachers out on a Sunday morning right out there in the lobby. They were putting all of those lies, you know, the little handouts they put on your windshield. Some of you may remember that. And I told them, I said, I've warned you 3 times. I will not warn you again. You're divisive. And I said, I've warned you. There's the door. Get out. I'm not leaving. I said, if you don't get out, I hope this doesn't sound bad. I said, I will throw you out. You get out of this place right now. Man, there's 3 of them. I was big back then. And they walked that door, and he turned and said, I'm going to tell you what, on next Sunday morning, I'm going to have, Channel 5 or Channel 8 News out here in front of this church because of what you just did. I said, we need all the advertisement we can get. I don't like false teachers because they're from the devil. They're not from the Lord. They're ungodly men. And here's what's so sad. They know they're lying. Oh, Bill, yes. Let me read 2 Peter 2:1. It says, Peter says, there were also false prophets among you, meaning Israel, even as there will be, future tense, false teachers among you, meaning in the church. Listen to what they do. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now listen, the word secretly, if you looked it up in the Greek, means this, to take something and lay it aside another thing. So what that means is the false teacher will, yes, he has a King James Bible, New King James Bible, right here. He's teaching out it using all the right words, but secretly and slowly and very methodically, they now, there's our God's word, the word we believe in, but they secretly lay something else slowly beside it. And very slowly, just not a whole lot, until it doesn't bother you. He knows just how much lies to give you. Because if you don't know God's word, how can you cast down those lies? Are you listening to me? It's very, very important. He says this, they'll come in among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them. That doesn't mean because they're saved. And bring on themselves swift destruction. Here's the sad part. And many will follow their destructive ways. Many. You know who that many is? Those many people, there are Christians without discernment. Christians who do not know the Word of God, who don't apply the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, hide the Word of God in their hearts. He says, oh no, many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of the truth, meaning God's Word, is blasphemed. So Paul now, in the next verse, he shouts. I want you to see that exclamation mark. He says, it's no wonder. Why? Well, for Satan himself, look what he does. He transforms, again, remember that word means disguises or masquerades. He transforms himself into an angel of what? An angel of light. Isn't that amazing? Angel of light, yet his darkness, the domain, his realm is darkness, and yet our God dwells, he is light. He dwells in unapproachable light. Amen? Only here, if you're looking for the only description in the New Testament that is given us of the wicked one. Now, we know things that he does, but this is a description of him. You should embed this in your heart, man. It says right there, this only place in Scripture that gives us this description, he is, appears, transforms himself, disguises himself, masquerades himself as an angel of light. He comes in as a light bearer. What does that mean? It means that Satan has the deceivability or the way that he can transform that. But what he does, he makes dark things, darkness, terrible things, appear as light. That frightens me. And I say, oh, Lord. Remember when he entered human history? How did he enter human history? Did he come up and say to Eve, hello, Eve, I fell from heaven. They called me Lucifer. I used to lead praise to God in front of the throne of God, but I wanted to be exalted above the throne. I got kicked out. Here I am, and I'm the devil. I'm getting ready to destroy mankind because I can, because you're going to believe a lie. Did he do that? No. No, loved one, listen to me. He entered human history disguised, and he is going to every attack that you have in your life. He's not going to come up and say, hey, I'm Mr. Devil, get ready. I'm going to destroy your family, your children, your finances, everything. You know, because you don't know the Word of God. You don't even know who I am. I'm disguised. You can't even tell. He doesn't do that. He comes up to you and it says, and you go, that doesn't seem bad at all. That seems pretty good. And if you don't know God's Word, how can you come against that? Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen. He made it. He was successful. He is a master of disguise. He's a master of things appearing as light. And he'll do anything to deceive the believer. He hates the believer. And inside of that wicked one, he's Abaddon. He's the destroyer. He's the wicked one. He's Apollyon. He's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's who we're dealing with. And he's a defeated enemy in Jesus' name. Loved one, listen. Therefore, look what Paul says. It is no great thing if, and these two words, look at these two words, his ministers, Satan's ministers. Also, what do? Well, they transform, they disguise, they masquerade, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, that's not the righteousness that brings meaning you're in right standing with God. That's a false, wicked righteousness. He says, oh, as ministers of righteousness, and look at their end, their final judgment, whose end will be according to their what? Works. Works, that's in all the judgments. They're going to end up just like their master. They're going to be burning in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and all, ever. Now listen to me. Does Paul practice tolerance? Did he? Wait a minute. He says, what was that? He says, you're of Satan. What was that? Come on. Is that tolerance? He calls these false people, these false apostles, these false teachers, he says, you are Satan's servants. He didn't practice tolerance. He knew what that kind of tolerance would cost him. Are you listening to me? Did Jesus practice tolerance? Whenever the Jews came to him, the religious leaders of the day, he said, he spoke unto them. He says, oh, I know who you are. You're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. John 8:44. And then he goes and says, for you're your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. You want to kill me. You want to kill me. You're going to put me on the cross. The people that are supposed to be representing God. Yeah. Did Jesus practice tolerance? He said, no. The devil's the father of every lie. Listen to me. He is the father of every false religion in the world. Do you hear me? From every generation. He's still creating false religions. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. The truth does not abide in him. He loves sin. He can't exist without darkness and sin. That's who we are dealing with. He says, oh, listen, no, these ministers, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, but they aren't. It's like the devil himself standing in the pulpit. Now, listen, what we must ask ourselves right here then, okay, what is the purpose behind the devil doing all of this, entering, trying to enter into the church, trying to deceive and so forth? Let's look here at the cost of compromise beginning in verse 16. Tolerance. He says, I say again, let no one think of me as a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. Now watch. What I speak not according to the Lord, but, as it were, foolishly. In other words, bear with me a little bit. In the confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. Now, look at verse 19. For you put up with fools gladly. What does the word again put up with mean? Tolerate. You tolerate. He says, for you put up with, you tolerate fools gladly. Who are the fools? Not Paul, but these wicked false teachers. Since you yourselves are wise. In other words, the Corinthians, you're so smart. You're so wise. You know all the gifts of the Spirit, all the things that are happening that in your church. Oh, yeah, you've got it going. He says, for you, here it comes. For you put up with it. Tolerance, in other words. For you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, you put up with it. If one devours you, you put up with it. You tolerate it. If one takes from you, you tolerate it. If one exalts himself, you tolerate it. If one strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say to you, when we were too weak for that, we could never treat you like that. We love you. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Christian, listen to me now. The cost of tolerance is right there. You don't know God's word. You don't meditate upon God's word. If you just, well, I, you know, let's want to have Christians. I went over to this thing. And I said, why would you go over there and listen to that junk? That's not true. Yeah, but I just wanted to find you. What? Why would you want to join yourself to that? I won't even let people come into my house and knock on my door. Is that biblical? Yes, for 1 John or 3 John. Don't even let them come into your home. You speak the truth in love, of course. Oh, man, the cost of tolerance. Man, this horrible abuse. That's what false teachers do. Why? They are like their father, the devil, who hates you. And that's what's happening right here. See, that's what false teaching produces. Number one, it produces bondage. You know what that means? It means to be enslaved again. I mean, put in chains all over again. And what's horrible? To be enslaved to an imposter. Someone who's not even from heaven or it has God in their heart, but yet they're eloquent. They're charismatic. They're so smooth. And, you know, I mean, I've talked with people, met with people. I know they're false teachers. They're so charismatic. I love them. No, can I buy you lunch? Yeah, serious. They're just so, you just love being around them. They have that demonic anointing, okay? See, if you think the devil is ugly, you're wrong. He was one of the most beautiful of God's creations. Are you listening to me? We must be wise in this generation that is falling apart, loved one. No, he says they want to devour you. Think about that. You want to tolerate that? You want to tolerate being devoured? You know what that word literally means? It means to be eaten alive. Your whole being. In other words, in 1 Peter 5:8, what does Peter say? Be sober, vigilant, for the devil who is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen? What is it? James 4:7 says, what does it say? Submit unto God. Submit unto God. And the devil will flee from you. No, I'm sorry. Submit unto God and resist the devil. And he will flee from you. That word flee means he will run in terror. No, he says, these false teachers, what are they going to do? The cost of compromise, Paul is telling them. He says, they're going to devour you. Not only that, look at the next one. They take from you. That word in the Greek really means to take as prey. It's not just taking their money, not just ripping them off and fleecing them. You know, if you'll just send in $100, you'll have a new home next week. You know what I mean, that kind of stuff. No, in other words, here it means to prey on them so they will no longer be free, to fleece the sheep. Without the truth, Jesus said in John 8:32, my life scripture, you shall know the truth will make you free. But if you don't know the truth, you can't be free. Did you know that? It's a truth that you know and apply. And that's why the word of God is so important. But look at this next one. Exalts himself. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want a picture of the wicked one, there he is. That is a picture of the devil, just like Satan, exalting himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says this about the devil, the Antichrist. It says, oh, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he isn't God at all. That's what he wants. Oh, loved one, listen. Look at that last one. Strike you on the face. Can I ask you a question? Would you allow someone to devour your children? Would you allow someone to eat up alive your children? Would you allow someone to put your children in bondage? And then that last one then strikes you on the face. That doesn't mean a slap. The Greek for that means they're going to skin you. They're going to skin you alive. The cost of tolerance. Loved one, look back with me to verse 3, which is a key scripture in our text. Paul says once again in verse 3, but I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What an incredible warning then and for us today. Again, remember that simplicity just means that singleness of heart, that dedication, that devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in John 10:10, It says that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief cometh to steal and to kill and destroy. Satan does that in many, many different ways, okay? I mean, his main goal, though, when we think of the word destroy, it's not, I think we get mixed up on it. Steal, kill, and destroy. His main goal is not when we say to destroy. For example, if the devil walked through the building right now and came up to me and says, I'm the devil, okay, I know who you are, I know what the Word of God says about you. And he said, you know, I have come to kill you. I have come to steal from you. I have come to destroy you. Now, does that mean that he wants me to fall on the floor dead? No. You'll see, Satan is merciless. Oh, he wants you on the floor, but he wants you alive. He wants you on your knees to him, but he wants you alive. Does that make sense? And he wants you to suffer, but he wants his foot on you as you suffer to hurt you a little bit more. See, that's what he wants to do. So when we think about Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, what does that mean? The main goal of Satan is not to destroy humanity. I hope you don't think that, because that's not his main goal. His main goal is to have humanity, every man, every woman, every boy, girl, under his dominion. What does that mean? He wants your worship. He wants the devotion that you give to Christ. He wants it. Do you understand that? See, that's what he wants from all of us. Remember the face-to-face meeting that Jesus had? He was baptized. The Spirit came upon him like a dove at the baptism. And then the Spirit of God led Jesus into the what? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that's where he went. Now listen, after a few of the temptations, then the devil said this to him. Listen carefully, Luke 4:5. Then the devil, taking Jesus up to a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, oh, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Anybody I want. Who gave it to him? Adam and Eve, amen? Now listen carefully. Therefore, Jesus, if you will worship me, if you will worship before me, if you will fall on your face right now, a real temptation. I don't need 30 minutes. I don't even need 1 minute. 5 seconds, 3 seconds. Get on your face. Now, you don't have to go to the cross. He says, everything, the world, the title deed to the world. You don't have to go to the cross. I just want your devotion. Just 1 second. Get on your knees. It is all yours. You better wake up. You better wake up. We live in a time when the church is in slumber, living any way they please, abusing the grace of the living God. I tell you, Satan, you said, well, Bill, he's been stripped of his power. Yes, he has. He defeated on the cross. He no longer has the power of death and all of that. I know who has the keys of Hades and death, amen? But let me ask you a question. Is he still able to blind the minds of those who do not believe? Yes. Is he still able to have a firm grasp upon this world because he's the God of this age? Yes. 1 John 5:19, we know that we're of God. Thank God for that. But the whole world, the people in the whole world, those that don't know Christ, truly knowing, lie in the sway of the wicked one. Let me read the revised version of that, by the way. It says, we know that we're of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Our holds the devil. He holds the world, the people of the world, unconscious in his arms. Why? Why? Because mankind, when they come into this world, they are born in sin. They are born in Adam. They are born fallen. And you know what type of attitude a fallen person has? The same attitude that we used to have. We want to live independent from God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I can live any way I want to, do anything I want to. I make the rules. That's what Satan offered Eve. You can make the rules. You can be like God. Come on, eat it. Just eat it. Go get your husband. Listen to me. I look at that and say, oh God, what does that do? Do you know whenever the fallen people, that gives the devil the greatest ally he could ever even think of having. What ally, Bill? The heart. The heart. Because he knows man is fallen. See, Satan knows that he has the unbelievers under his authority. He loves to work. He energizes the flesh of dead people because people are, even though they're alive, physically alive, they're spiritually dead. They're under the sway of the wicked whether they know it or not. Okay? That's just the way it is. What about you? What about me, the Christian? I love Alan Redpath, the old man. He's gone home now, but let me read what he says about the devil and what I'm talking to you about this morning. The attack of the enemy, the devil, against the Christian is against our relationship with Jesus Christ. Satan is not primarily concerned to make the Christian descend into moral filth. Oh, no. For in fact, that would rather defeat his object. Devil, he's concerned to make the Christian fail in prayer. He wants to make the Christian bankrupt in his testimony, defeated in his spiritual life. He wants to make the Christian deprived forever of being a channel of communication to God's principle as light unto this world. Satan hates us. He hates you. He hates me. Why does he attack the Christian? Because we are the only people on this planet who are partakers of the divine nature of the living God. Amen? We're co-heirs with Christ. He hates Jesus. He hates the church. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Loved one, listen, how does he do it? Well, first, we've already learned he attacks by how? He gets false teachers teaching the doctrines of demons. There's many in Fort Worth, whether you know that or not. He also attacks the mind. We learned that in chapter 10, verses, I think, 3 through 6. Remember where it says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? And everything that exalts itself against the Word of God. We come against that. Satan wants to hold every mind hostage. He wants us to, because he knows that thoughts control people's lives, the operating system of our body, if you will. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So he uses those false teachers. He uses the mind. But there's one that is so heartbreaking to me. And I see it so prevalent today. More so than I've ever seen it ever in my life. And it's that he appears as an angel of light. You know what that really, really means? It means that the father of all lies, the father of every false religion, the wicked one himself who despises goodness and things that are light and love and all of that, he perverts those things. He has a gospel. And it appears so lovely to so many in our world, in every generation. And you know what his gospel is that is so received more than even Christians? That gospel that is received is this. He offers mankind in every generation a way of life without the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he does.
That's what he is doing. Loved one, listen, the devil's disguise, the devil's masquerade is a religious spirit. He wants to be in the church. He wants the word of God watered down. He doesn't want people to really believe. He wants you to believe that you can be a grace abuser or you don't have to ever serve God. You never need to discover your gift, and you certainly don't ever need to be an ambassador for Christ. Don't ever bring and pull anyone out of darkness, because they're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever. Don't take away hearts from me, the devil says, that are devoted to me, even though they don't know it. Don't take that away. Oh, no, you're not going to steal that from me. I'll keep them bound. I'll keep them in chains as long as I can. I'll keep the Christian quiet. I'll make them a bunch of sissies who stay in the pew and never do anything. Are you listening to me? We are living in the worst darkness in the history of our nation. If you're not an ambassador of Christ, why not? If you're not winning the law, how many people won people to Jesus this week or told people about the Lord? Oh God, listen to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the devil loves that. Yeah, that's right. That'll work. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it only leads to death. That's the devil's doctrine for sure. Many ways to God. You're a good person. Loved one, listen to me. I know you're saying, Bill, you're acting like the devil's more powerful than God. Oh, stop it. The Bible says God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, God is faithful. The wicked one touches you not. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we, the church, the depository, if you will, of the mind of Christ, he says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Are we? Are we? We're not ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The cost of tolerance. You listen to me now. You must, believer, we are heading in a time the whole world is upside down. We're not turning it upside down. The devil is turning it upside down. The cost of tolerance. Christian, you must, your children, your teens, you must put on the armor of God. And if you don't put on the armor of God, you might as well say, I now will have to put up with the devil. That means tolerate. Tolerate. The Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. It says, finally, my brethren, in Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. And put on the full, not just part of it, the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the strategies or the methods or the plans of the wicked one. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness, principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore stand. And having done all to stand, put on your girdle. Put on your belt, the belt of truth. Amen? If you don't know God's word, you're going to be in trouble. That's what holds all the pieces of your armor together is truth. Put on that belt of truth right now. On your chest, what do you put on your chest? The breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you have to know that you are the righteousness in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your sins are forgiven. You're justified. You're declared innocent. And the devil, what does he do? He tries to make you feel otherwise. You're not going to make it. Yes, I am. Why? I know what my breastplate is. It's armor. Shut up. I will not tolerate you. I will not tolerate the wicked one. Do you hear me? Are you getting it, what I'm saying? Don't tolerate that. There's a cost. There's a cost if you do. If you tolerate him, you're going to pay for it. It's just that simple. When God has given you the armor to put on your body,
You gird up your loins with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, loved one, and then you shot your feet with a gospel of peace. That Roman soldier's, remember how it was? They had all those little studs on the bottom, so, man, you were like Ezekiel Elliott. You know what I'm saying? You could just hold your ground, jump over those barrels and people and everything. That's what that's all about. And above all, taking the what? Shield of, by which you take it. Right there. Faith, it pleases God. Only thing that pleases God. Taking up the shield of faith by which you, loved one, are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Oh, I won't tolerate you. I won't tolerate your lies. You can't touch my home and you can't touch my children ever, because I believe God's word. I know God's word. And then I'm going to put on the helmet of what? Salvation. I'm going to protect my mind. How? By knowing the word of God. And then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen, that word is not logos on the page. It's rhema. It's the living word of God, the revelation in your heart. I know what God says. I believe what God says. You want to fight? I won't tolerate you, but I will cut you down to size. You'll not be bigger than anything that I'm facing. Are you with me? You have to know the word of God. And then praying always with all prayers and supplication, and tells us how? In the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit of God. The cost of tolerance. Loved one, it's over. It is over. I'm telling you, we must, if we don't fulfill our calling, the next 10 years, you will see things in our nation. I may not be here then. You mark my words. You'll see a darkness, unless there's a revival, that you've never seen before. Never. It's time. It is time for the Christian to be the Christian. We come into these four walls to celebrate our Lord and to learn His word. We go out of those doors to change this culture and change people's lives. But it won't happen unless you go. It won't happen unless you fulfill your calling. Lord, thank you for your word. I praise you. I honor you. There's no one like you. This church, we will not tolerate. We won't do it. We're going to love people. We're going to speak the truth in love. But when it comes to the demonic realm, you get your hands off of this place and off of the people of God's pasture. You're displaced by His word. No. Will we bow down to you? No. No matter what you offer us, you'll not take one bit of the devotion of our heart that we have for Jesus Christ. Not in this church. No. No. We're sold out. No, not at all. We submit to God. We resist you, devil. Now flee in the mighty name of Jesus. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, if you've never personally said, Jesus, save me. Come in and be the Lord of my life. I need you. Then you're not born again. You've got to say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me.
If you've never done that, this is your opportunity, and it may be your last opportunity if you're not a Christian. If that's you, I want you to know I love you. But I have to be honest and tell you, if you don't know Jesus, there's another Lord that's trying to keep you captive. I beg you not to stay there. If you don't know Christ, why don't you walk out of that bondage right now? Here's how you do it. You just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. If that's you, please don't dilly-dally. Would you just lift your hand this morning, I beg you, in Jesus' name, and say, Bill, that's me. I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I'll not ask again. Last call. If he's touched your heart, let me know right now. Well, Father, I assume then that we're all believers in this place. I pray that's the case. But Lord, I thank you for giving me the privilege to feed and fish. I want everyone saved. So Lord, today, let your whirlwind begin. Let it start forming now, Lord. For it is June, and it is time as we start preparing to move into the city. I love you, Lord, and I love the people that you have brought here. I give you thanks for the privilege of loving them and teaching the uncompromised word of the living God. I ask it in Jesus' name. And the church says, let's stand to our feet this